This is episode 111, recorded on May 31st, 2013. Packard Pokes at Weathered, Feathered, and Vaccinated.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far, far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
Packard?
Yes.
We need warp speed in 5 minutes or we're all dead.
I'm doing all I can, Captain. I can't push it no more. Join us from the mitt of... what was Mitt Romney? No, I'm just kidding. Is Dave, you're damned.
Good evening.
And join us from places unknown is the ungodly man himself, Godless Glenn.
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
Well, we're doing pretty good out here.
As long as you're not in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Early tonight, the people out in Oklahoma, I hope they're taking cover because early tonight they had like, I had a breaking news story that they had several tornadoes were on the ground. So
yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, so I hope they're taking cover. By all means, you know, please be careful out there. Well, anyway, let's get going for our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
If you've ever had out on a date or you're just at a business meeting and you're talking to somebody and you're like, who the hell am I talking to? Well, Google has come to the rescue, sort of. Late last year or earlier this year, whichever one it is, they came up with facial recognition through a device called Google Glass. It's a little device that sits on your glass like so, and it can tell you about the stuff that's around you or around the world. It's like having a computer right there on your glasses. Google did not plan on putting out information where you could look at a person's face and have facial recognition on the glasses so you could see, or it would tell you who the hell you're talking to. However, they said they didn't rule it out or forbid anyone from doing so. So what they've done is that they've let other developers, which usually what happens is most developers come up with something really cool, and the big guys like Google, Apple, Microsoft, whoever, takes the technology that was just created and integrates it in later. And I'm hoping that they pay these developers something for their time. Google is usually pretty good about that. But it's good for people who have bad memory like me. My memory is good for 5 minutes or 5 feet, whichever comes first sometimes. But then you get the guys that are like, hey, she looks hot. I wonder who she is. Oh, hey, she lives over at 20072 over on Isabel Street. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go give her a visit tonight. Uh-huh. And it's like, and she likes long watches on the beach and kinky sex. Oh, nice. So, you know, you can find out all kinds of things about somebody. Police have already had this access to this kind of facial recognition. They usually have like it on a smartphone or something like that, and it's an additional piece that they put on the phone so it can actually read into their central computers and whatnot. But for us to have it, I'm kind of torn myself on this. If we have this technology, it could help us eventually, you know, make sure we know who the hell we're talking to. Of course, that's always a good thing. Especially, you know, it's like, hey, you remember me? We met last week, and, you know, I'm kind of pregnant. Oh, you're her. Oh, is that the one you are? Okay. No, I'm totally kidding. But
procreation, there's an app for that.
Yeah, procreation, there's an app for that. But like any technology, it can be misused, and I can certainly see this being misused. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, real stalking and cyber stalking have now been melded together.
As one.
Yes. Technology for the... No, that's terrible. Yeah, this is kind of creepy. It reminds me of that movie called Minority Report, which took place in the future. And in that movie, billboards had these scanners that would scan people's eyes, and then the billboard would change and address that person individually. Like, hey, you, how about a Heineken, you know?
Yeah, you want Heineken tonight. You need to get drunk after that long day at work.
Exactly. This isn't as advanced as that. This is similar to tagging on Facebook. And I can see the privacy naysayers of the future being like, oh, what's the big deal? So Google Glass can track everyone and tell everybody who you are. You've already got a phone in your pocket. You're already tracked.
Yes, actually you are. GPS is built into most phones nowadays. If they want to, someone can track you just like that. It doesn't take much.
There's an app for it.
Yes, there is. Dave, your thoughts?
It's creepy. I mean, I'm a little creeped out about it. I feel like I can totally see where it can be used legitimately if you're at a business meeting or something like that and you can't remember people that you meet with, you know, every couple of months or whatever.
Right.
Remembering their names and a little bit about them would probably be helpful information. But at the same time, I don't want to be out at the local pub or something and have everyone know exactly who I am.
Right. Yeah, that'd be a little
creepy. It's a little creepy.
Yes, it is. Especially for women. I mean, women have a hard enough time fending off guys that are half drunk. Now I can imagine a guy, hey, come here, baby. Oh, hey, oh, you're Jenny. Yeah. It's like, and then puke on your shoes.
Right. I was also reading that there's an app called Winky that you can just wink with your eye, and it snaps a picture of the person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, stuff like that is just, I don't know, it's creepy. Yes. It's stalking to a whole nother level.
Yes, it does. With this new technology, they may end up having to write up new laws just for this particular piece of technology, just for that.
They already are. I mean, I was listening to NPR not too long ago where they were discussing all of this. And there are certain countries in the world that are already banning it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah, they don't want everybody to know who the prime minister is out with this week.
Sure.
No, they don't have problems over there. Glenn, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they hit it pretty well when they said creepy. My initial reaction was the RoboCop movie. Do you remember that back in, I think it was the 80s?
RoboCop?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that movie.
So, I mean, like, I think it could be very useful in some situations, but, I mean, yeah, for law enforcement especially, but...
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, very creepy, you know, but it could help a lot of guys. It could help them get dates and stuff like that, you know? But, no, I mean, yeah.
I know your favorite protein is tapioca, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the misuses would definitely be more of a concern than the helpfulness of such a technology. But, I mean, yeah, they would definitely have to put some laws in place and some restrictions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I can totally see it being misused, of course. But yeah. I can also see some real good benefits coming out of this. Like you said, to mention the police. Now, if they have these things, they don't have to be... if you've ever seen a police officer, he's got the laptop sitting in the car, and
right.
You know they yell at us for distracted driving, and they're sitting there trying to
exactly. To
do this thing. Oh, I got a plate I got to check out, and then they're trying to type this stuff in while they're driving, like, you know, and then if the guy decides to stop suddenly and short in front of them, boom, you got cop all over them. But and you don't want a cop on your ass, not like that anyway.
No.
But this way, they can tie this into their laptop and say, and they would screen read this. And
yeah.
The downfall part of that is that because if the facial recognition fails and it says, hey, that's not Packard Sonic. That's Joe Unseen, and he's been wanted for criminal mischief and mayhem. It's like, wait a minute. Whoa, that's not me. So
right. Yeah.
But there's always that possibility.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our next topic here. A new dinosaur that's been found is closely related to a primitive bird. Is actually there's this great picture on here. Now the wings on this, it says it has four wings. Colonel Sanders would have jumped all over this. You know he would have. Actually, the feathers just happen to run down the leg, so it's actually they're not technically wings, but it would the bird would use that to glide over the ground because it wouldn't actually fly, get in the air and fly around, but. It's closer to like an emu or a dodo bird would have been, just, you know, flightless. And this was discovered over in China. It's called the Norris Zoo, which honors the paleontologist Zhu Xing, who actually discovered it. Now, a lot of new discoveries have been coming out of China, mostly fossils, because, you know, China's a big place. It's not a walk in the park. You can't walk across it in a day or anything like that. So there's all kinds of nifty things coming out of there. And they said that dinosaur lived about 150 million years ago. The researchers over the Royal Belgian Institute of Natural Sciences in Brussels said. Joe, your thoughts?
It's an exciting time for dino digs in China. They're turning up all sorts of new fossils over there. Here we have a small feathered dinosaur. It's a likely ancestor of modern birds. And it's not the only feathered dinosaur. It's now believed that the entire theropod line likely had feathers, including T-Rex. And the descendants of these feathered dinosaurs are the ones that happened to survive the mass extinction at the end of the Cretaceous. So I've been asked by creationists, you know, show me one single transitional fossil. Well, here you go, a feathered dinosaur. And it's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of species.
Yes, absolutely.
So the article goes on to mention Archaeopteryx, which is one of my personal favorites. It's one of the first feathered dinosaurs discovered. And when they first unearthed that, they looked at it and they saw the lizard body and the fossilized feathers all over, and they were like, whoa.
Yes, that's great. Especially fossilized feathers, you know. Just make sure
they're very pretty fossils.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Dave, your thoughts?
No, like Joe said, this is really exciting. The discoveries that have been coming out recently, I mean, discoveries are coming out for dinosaurs consistently, have been for a long time, but it's knowing that all of these different theropods had feathers is a very exciting thing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because, you know, when we were kids, we were taught that we'll likely never know what color a dinosaur is.
Right.
But now, in studying the fossil remains of feathers, we're getting a better idea as to what the colors of the dinosaurs really were. I think that's pretty cool. Apparently, this particular specimen, it was flightless in the sense that it couldn't flap its wings and fly, but they're saying that they believe that it probably was able to glide for extended periods of time,
right?
Which is cool as well. And the fact that it now predates Archaeopteryx, which was considered to be the earliest bird-like ancestor, it's a cool thing. It's a neat discovery. The article also mentions that they're not necessarily certain as to what to call it at this point.
Right.
Or, I mean, all this is going to change and continues to change. And it really speaks to science and how it's willing to adapt to new evidence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's interesting is that this particular critter was about 20 inches long, had teeth, and it fed on insects. And they said it ate like a falcon would, you know, kind of swoop. No, you've ever seen a falcon eat? That's they're tear shit up.
Yep.
Glenn, your thoughts?
Yeah. When I read these stories, you know, I always get pictures of movies in my head for some reason. So I was remembering the Jurassic Park movie.
Yes.
So which kind of creeped me out because I remember watching all of those movies and like, oh my God, I would just, you know, it's like you just get the chills. But I think it's pretty fascinating discovery.
You know, Satan's down there burying all these fossils behind God's back.
Yeah, I mean, God's testing everyone's faith and making sure they don't believe in evolution.
Right.
You know, and
I always say when I have creationists say that, I always say, you know, that picture of Jesus on toast, that's a scientist testing your intelligence.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just another piece of the puzzle. But I mean, it doesn't matter how many discoveries and how many facts that we have, how many fossils or whatever. You know, I mean, if people are so in their mindset that the whole thing is made up somehow, it doesn't matter how many pieces of evidence the scientific community has.
I don't understand why people don't understand that fossils are things that they're in the ground. It's not like people are going around burying them and go, hey, let's see how somebody else finds us. And see, you know, I'm making these in my garage in Detroit, you know. It doesn't work that way.
I don't make them in my garage in Detroit. I can assure you that.
I'm making them in my backyard. I got a little set going on there. I ship them out and I make 20 cents a ton. You know, it doesn't work this way. These things are millions and millions of years old.
Yeah, because you have people that say, oh, the weather patterns, which there's a story in here we'll get to, I think, coming up. But the weather patterns, the fossils, all this, it's just a big hoax by people. It's like, really? I mean,
yeah, that's a big hoax.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It really is. It is bullshit. It is bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, let's get on to our next. Let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Speaking of bullshit, Johnny Depp made the news. Actually, in a roundabout fashion, we were just talking about fossils, actually. A British scientist from the Imperial College of London discovered a 505 million-year-old fossil that appears to have been the ancestor of lobsters and scorpions. The fossil had large scissor-like claws. The scientist said his last name is Legg. Says, when I first saw the pair of isolated claws in the fossil records of this species, I could not help but think of Edward Scissorhands. Even the genus name, Cuchinella cella, includes a reference to the film as cella is Latin for claws or scissors. In truth, I am also a bit of a Depp fan, and what would be a better way to honor the man than to immortalize him as an ancient creature that once roamed the sea? That's kind of cool. You know, scientists are doing stuff like this all the time. They come across something, and we're running out of names for things. We already have spaghetti. You know, we can't name the next fossil spaghetti because you're going to get the two things confused. So we come up with all these different movies and things like that because, you know, we're bored. We need to be entertained. So why not call it Depp? That's basically what he called it. So he called it a Cuchinella Deppi, or Depp, or I think it's Deppi or Depp, D-E-P-P-I, I don't know if that's, yeah, Deppi. So he's paying homage to the actor. So Johnny Depp is now going to go down in history as an actor that was named, a fossil is named after an actor. You know, I don't know if, maybe it's been done before, I don't know. It's really kind of cool. Before we get going here, we have some breaking news here. They had some authorities that five deads on the roads near Oklahoma City after tornadoes hit the region. So, yeah, if you're out in Oklahoma City, please take care. Those tornadoes are dangerous things going on out there. All right, I'm sorry. Let's get back to it. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, you said that you wondered if this happens before. They named fossils after all sorts of things. Back in the day, they used to name them after the sponsors of the expeditions.
Yeah.
They would name them after kings. They would name them after leaders, you know, just because these are the people putting out the money. So, yeah, it happens. They sometimes name them after each other just to be friendly, you know, like some scientist respects some other scientist's work and names a fossil he found after him because they find so much stuff. I mean, you run out of names after a while.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this fossil comes from the Cambrian era, which saw rapid biodiversity. Getting back to what creationists have said to me, how could all the biodiversity of the Cambrian explosion happen in such a short period of time? Evolution takes too long, and so therefore God did it.
Evolution takes too long. Well, what do you...
Right. Well, the first time I heard that argument, I was like, oh, okay. So I actually looked into it. I was like, wait a minute. The Cambrian explosion took place over 80 million years. That's plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. Lots
of blood. So yeah, it's a null argument.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But yeah, Johnny Depp's little critter was crawling around during that time, during the Cambrian explosion. And
I've heard he's been around for a while. Actually, he takes that. If you've ever seen Death Becomes Her, you know they got this special formula where everybody you just live forever. So I think he's on that stuff.
What I think is amazing is this little crab ancestor was an inch and a half long, and all of lobsters, crabs, spiders, and insects descended from it. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Dave, your thoughts?
You know, I don't have that many thoughts on this. Johnny Depp's awesome.
You don't like lobster?
What's that?
You don't like lobster?
No, I enjoy lobster. As a matter of fact, shellfish, like lobster and crab, one of my favorite foods.
Nice.
So I probably would have eaten this.
I was just thinking, you know, George Carlin said, he goes, when I see something coming at me, you know, when I see two claws and walking sideways, the last thing I say, hey, that don't make me hungry. My thoughts are, step on that fuck. Step on that fuck before it gets to the children. So
that's right. No, I mean, as Joe said, I mean, naming fossils is something that people name them after all sorts of different things, all sorts of different people. I know a scientist who has had a number of discoveries named after him, and he had basically named the first couple that he discovered after himself, and then said, well, I've done that, I'm going to start naming them after other things.
There you go.
So, I mean, you get naming rights when you discover something, and person decided to name it after Johnny Depp and Edward Scissorhands, and that makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, why not?
Right.
Yeah, if you get naming rights, sure. I have no problem with it myself. I just think it's just kind of funny myself.
It is.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yes, it is. Godless Glenn, your thoughts?
Well, I think I got more distracted on Johnny Depp than the fact of the fossil. Well, so I started doing some research on him, and apparently he was born in Kentucky. I didn't even know that, which is just right up the road from where I live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and cool. He wanted to be a rock star when he was, I guess, a teenager.
That was in pre-Cambrian era, wasn't it? No.
Yeah.
Followed by the 21 Jump Street era.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a bass player, was he not?
Oh, I don't know.
I believe he was a bass player.
Oh, okay. I mean, it would be pretty cool to see Johnny Depp as a rock star. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it would be cool. So I was more focused on that. And then I'm like, I wonder if he's an atheist. And I just Googled that and I see things where he's supposedly got quotes and stuff. So,
oh, really?
You know, yeah, I'll have to research it though. I can't believe everything you read in Google.
No, can't remember everything.
Well, just the stuff I agree with.
Wait a minute. Let me Google that if we can believe everything that's in Google. No, it says you can't trust that. Okay.
But now you know you can trust Wikipedia. I mean, if it says it, I mean, it's facts, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Nothing could go wrong there. No, Wikipedia is actually usually pretty close because it's self-correct. I'd like to say it's self-correcting because some people visit these sites a lot, so if they see something wrong, they go, oh, well, I'll just go in there, edit it out. But sometimes you get the nut jobs go, oh, that's not right, and we're going to make Johnny Depp is Jesus. Yeah, that's right.
There's the people that have the hobby of vandalizing Wikipedia.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they have nothing better to do with their lives. And
right.
They're stuck in their parents' basement watching Johnny Depp.
Hey, now, come on.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right.
In related news, the chat room went on a long tangent about Johnny Depp having crabs.
Oh, did he?
Oh, God.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get into our next topic for this evening. A lady, a family actually, lost their 4-week-year-old daughter to whooping cough. Now, that alone is bad enough, but they were telling their story. This happened back in 2009, and because they got their child vaccinated, they thought, you know, that the child was going to be okay, but sometimes vaccinations don't kick in right away, and unfortunately. But there's this group out there, it's called the anti-vaxxers, because some nut job, and somebody nut job like Michelle Bachmann had, who just finally retired, yay, said that some woman came up to her and said, yeah, I got my child vaccinated and now he's mentally retarded. The woman who supposedly told her was never found, and now there's anti-vaxxers out there because who are you gonna trust, a scientist or a celebrity? And it's like, I just talk and say stuff, and then you got your scientist who says, yeah, I've actually figured this shit out and I know what's going on. But who am I going to decide on? I'm going to go with the guy, the woman over here just says stuff because, you know, like people give me lines and whatnot. You know, the science is there. Okay. Don't trust these anti-vaxxers. I mean, what's worse is after this baby died, they finally came out, you know, they felt comfortable enough time had passed. And they could, you know, tell their story about what happened. And all these anti-vaxxers are attacking this poor lady. The family is Tony and David McAfee broke their silence after 4 years of vilification they endured since their baby Dana had died back in 2009. The attacks came as included anonymous letters, cyber attacks, heartless abusive message telling them to harden the fuck up. You know, to say something about somebody like this after they've lost their kid. You know, and then especially to add in insult to injury, as it were. This is just fucking bullshit. If someone dies in your family, you're not going to sit there and attack them. If you are, you're a fucking dick. I don't care who you are. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, anti-vax people are assholes. Much of the harassment brought upon this woman comes from the supporters of the Australian Vaccination Network.
Yep.
So I went to their website, and under vaccination pros and cons, I clicked on the tab, and there aren't any pros or cons listed, but instead they have a stupid little rant, and it says, quote, unlike medical treatments which are given to relieve symptoms of illness, vaccination is given to healthy babies, children, and adults, unquote. And I'm just like, yeah, it's a vaccine, which means it's preventative.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, please. So, yeah, the whole anti-vax movement is based on fear, not evidence.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, when we vaccinate children, we're not vaccinating them to just to protect that one child. We're doing this to protect the whole village of children. Because if one gets it, and if everybody else it passes somehow, I don't know how some kids develop anything nowadays. But you know, kids are bug factories to begin with. I drove a school bus for 9 years. I know what I'm talking about. They spread things like wildfire. And if you get one child gets sick, and you, let's say you get Johnny over here and Deppy over here. And Julie over here, and two of the three kids are vaccinated, and the one isn't. And then you get the little Johnny boy over here who's not vaccinated, and he's sick. And who's it going to get it to? The one that's not vaccinated. And so they're going to screw – then that just affects them. But if they're not – none of them are vaccinated, then you can take out a whole school. It's not – then every teacher's going, I got no class to teach. Dave, your thoughts.
Yeah, first off, I'd like to say that I really feel for this family. They just recently broke their silence after 4 years of harassment. And that's something. I mean, four years of harassment after your child dies. I mean, and their child was, what, 4 months old?
4 months old, yep, 4 months old.
4 months old. And their child dies, and they get harassed for 4 years.
I'm sorry, 4 weeks. I'm sorry, the correction, that's four weeks.
Oh, four weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks, I mean, a month wow. Old.
Yeah,
and then after 4 years of being harassed, they finally come out and they've had enough, and that's profound, really, and yes. I really feel for them.
I do too.
I also want to say that the anti-vaccination movement is not new.
No,
I mean this goes back to 1798 mm-hmm. when clergymen in Boston and religiously devout physicians spoke out against it. You know, initially vaccinations were really met with a lot of opposition from the church, and they felt that prayer was what would fix these ailments. Especially, I mean, what made the difference was the smallpox epidemic, mm-hmm. and when people finally realized that the people who were getting vaccinated actually were not getting smallpox.
Yeah.
And the people who were getting prayed for without getting vaccinated were still getting smallpox.
Yeah.
This child died of measles, and I mean, the measles vaccination in particular is one that is attacked by the anti-vaxxers, specifically because it requires vaccination more frequently. Mm-hmm. I mean, initially, if you get it as a child like that, you have to get it renewed within a few years.
Yep.
You know, they have nothing to back up their claims except for, well, it doesn't last and it doesn't work for very long.
Oh my
if
gosh.
It works at all, they believe.
It's like, oh, if I buy this one stick of cheese, I will have it forever.
Yeah. In fact, you know, we actually have, in our country, we have exemptions for vaccinations in schools and all of that for children that are the only exemptions for these mandatory vaccinations are for religious reasons.
Yeah.
To this day, mainly for people who are practicing Islam and Judaism, because of the contents of the vaccinations sometimes contain certain animal products that their religion may consider unclean.
You know, when I hear people say that, I mean, it's like, well, it's broken down. You won't even see it. You won't even know it's there. You know, personally, if it were up to me, and you get children that belong to parents who say that they don't want to get their child vaccinated, I say we set up a little area of the school away from the other children, mm-hmm. and then let them get, if they get sick, then let them get sick, and then leave the kids who have gotten vaccinated away from them, and just give them their own little area. This way, yeah. If one gets sick, then they all get sick, and then... Well, as they say, that nature take its course. I know that sounds really heartless, but you know what? Sometimes, well, as they say, you can't make it on without breaking eggs. Separate those people out. They're a danger to society. Not as they're not intending to be going out like mass murder, dangerous, but they're still a danger to everybody because if they're not vaccinated, they're going to get somebody else sick. And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Glenn, your thoughts.
Yeah. I wasn't actually aware that there was an anti-vaccination movement. I don't keep up with this area a whole lot, but I've stumbled across a website here, skeptic.com, skepdic.com. Mm-hmm. And they've got an article, anti-vaccination movement. And here's a pretty interesting quote that they have here. It says, immunization can be credited with saving approximately 9 million lives a year worldwide A further 16 million deaths a year could be prevented if effective vaccines were deployed against all potentially vaccine-preventable diseases. So I wasn't even aware that the statistics were that high. So that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Now we got rid of smallpox. Pretty much is almost completely eradicated. I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, the only existence of smallpox is in a lab, and that's it. And it's and that's the only place it exists now.
Yeah.
But there, we got stuff coming back, like whooping cough is coming back because of these anti-vaxxers. We almost had it completely licked, but now I don't want my child to get vaccinated. Why should I do that?
Now, are most of these people that are anti-vaccination, are they doing it from a religious standpoint, or is it more I know Joe had said that it's more based on fear.
Yeah. I would say I think it's a combination of both myself.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination because science is scary because they're talking big words. Words that I don't understand. You know, and God is so easy. G-O-D. Yep. Oh, I can say God. So that means God does everything. No.
Yeah. Just got to pray and have faith, and, you know, he's going to take care of me. But no, unfortunately, it's not the way it works.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this one particular podcast, I heard this number years ago, this one former Christian lady, she thought she could go out to these villages where people had AIDS. She goes, oh, well, God, we don't have a vaccine for AIDS. And, you know, that notwithstanding, okay?
Yeah.
Not yet. We're working on it. And when we do, I'm going to rub that in every creationist's face, especially those ones. But, I'll wait for that. Anyway.
It'll be here soon enough, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. But she said, oh, well, God is protecting me from all the AIDS things because I'm righteous. And sure as shit. She gets AIDS. She goes, oh, my gosh, I got AIDS. I thought I was so much better than everybody else because God was protecting me. You know what, sister? Wow. It ain't happening. Viruses, they're little tiny things. You can't even see them with the human eye, okay?
Yeah, they don't play favorites.
No, they do not play favorites. You put five people in a room, you know, the chances are three of those five are going to get sick. You introduce something into the air, three of those five, or maybe all five will get sick. Who knows? But I guess it all depends on the strain of whatever's introduced. But bodies pick up things. We're all Petri dishes, every one of us. We're a gigantic Petri dish walking around on two legs. Anyone else have any last comments on this before we continue on?
I think it's interesting what Dave said. I didn't know that the anti-vax stuff went all the way back to the 1700s and that originally the church was very much against it. I had no idea about that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, if you read Religion and Science by Bertrand Russell, he actually has a whole chapter that's pretty much dedicated to that whole topic.
It does not surprise me at all. I mean, generally what I know about religion and churches and whatnot, they're against anything that's modern or anything like that because then it disproves their God one step more, and it can't have that. So we'll keep people crazy and in the dark. If we do that, then, you know, then we can, if someone gets miraculously gets better, 1 out of 10, that's a miracle, then they can say, oh, well, that's proof of God. No, that's proof
of
being a
lucky. I think
1 out of 10
is really high. It's about 50%. Yeah. It's about the same as chance.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's no greater than chance. No greater than chance.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazies.
crazies, you say?
Speaking of crazies, I was crazy once. No, there are people out there that enjoy a good conspiracy. You know, it's like reading a good book. It's like reading an interesting book. Conspiracies, they can be kind of fun,
right?
You know, there's the conspiracy of who killed John Lennon because that's actually a real conspiracy because some people actually conspired to do this. The people who hit the 9/11 towers, that's actually happened because 12 guys got together and said, hey, let's hijack airplanes and hit towers and blow shit up. That's an actual conspiracy. But other conspiracies like can't be proven, like UFOs at Area 59 or 47 or whatever it is, you know, Area 56. I used to know this shit.
Area 51.
51, thank you. Area 51. 57's next door down the block, about six blocks. They always get the pizza deliveries wrong. That's why I mix it up.
No, 57 is where Elvis will marry you.
Yes. And Elvis is working there. He's there eating. He's there hanging out with the dinosaurs. Anyway, sorry. And Buddy Holly over there, too. Anyway, but those kind of those conspiracy nuts out there, that ones that make up all kinds of crazy things, because I don't know if they just don't have the intelligence to understand, or they just think that they're just going to blame everything on Obama or the previous president or whatever. Just recently, we had we were talking about tornadoes earlier, as a matter of fact, because down in Oklahoma, there are tornado truthers. Yes, tornado truthers. They think that, you know, there's the 9/11 truthers out there that think, you know, that the government was involved in the 9/11 attacks. Those are called the 9/11 truthers. The tornado truthers, whole other animal. They think that the HARP project, that's HARP, which stands for the High Frequency Active Array Research Program, or HARP as it's called, basically known as, all it does is just study weathering patterns and, you know, try to, you know, figure their shit out. But because a tornado spawns in a certain area, oh, three times in a row, oh, well, we're testing a tornado weapon. Let me just say this right now. If I was with the government and I had access to a tornado weapon, I would choose be a little bit more specific of where I was going to target it. I wouldn't target, you know, innocent bystanders in Oklahoma, which is, you know, Tornado Alley. I would have it go after, you know, people like, you know, Brian Fisher, Rush Limbaugh, have it chase him down the street. Anyway, the thing is, tornado truthers, they're just lunatics. I mean, why do we give airtime to these people, these lunatics that think that the government is controlling the weather? If we can control the weather, we would put rain where we wanted it to and keep it from snowing on the highways and the sidewalks. That's the kind of weather control I want. You can let it snow all you want, right, up here in Wisconsin. Don't let it snow on the roads. Don't let it snow on the sidewalks. I'm a happy camper. Then you can snow until it comes up to my door. I don't care. But we don't have that kind of control. It doesn't exist. Joe, your thoughts.
What I loved about this article was the sarcasm. They compared the Obama tornado conspiracy to evil plans of Dr. Doom and Loki.
Oh, yeah.
And the article contained a short nut job video, which I watched most of. And it talked about HARP in Alaska, which is, as you mentioned, a research station. I think they're studying the ionosphere and how this research is capable of causing earthquakes, cyclones, tornadoes, and even tsunamis.
Yeah, that's the earthquake one. That just came out recently, actually. They said that the weather pattern suddenly changed over Japan, and it got really hot. And that's why Japan had the earthquake, because
right.
And it was a similar one over HARP at the same time. So HARP was actually killing Japan people, you know, Japanese.
They were saying it's like a microwave oven that bounces off the atmosphere and heats up subterranean water to make earthquakes, which is completely ridiculous. Because if you could make a microwave that powerful, it would go through the atmosphere. If it bounced off the atmosphere, like let's say that was possible, it would cook everything on the ground. There would be a noticeable effect.
Actually,
and if you could even make something that powerful.
Actually, with radio waves, and now the microwaves is a little different, but radio waves bounce off the atmosphere. I don't know if you don't know that, but because
they bounce better off clouds.
Yes. Well, no, actually. Clouds actually do more interference than they do anything else. On a cloudy day, it's actually harder to get I used to play on the radio, on the CB radio, and there was this thing, it's called Skip. Basically, you could be sitting in your parking lot at Walmart, for example, or just at the right place at the right time, and you could be talking to somebody down in Florida. Now, CB radios don't have a lot, their range is generally 1 mile. That's a standard radio. Is 1 mile, but and it's in many states it's actually illegal to talk further than 1 mile. But if the ionosphere is just right, it'll actually skip across the atmosphere, and you could pick it up on your radio. You could actually have a conversation back and forth. I've done this. I've talked to people down in Oklahoma when I was up in out in Baraboo, Wisconsin. It was for at least about 5 minutes, and then the atmosphere changes, and then it's all gone. But
do you think a billion-watt microwave transmission would bounce off the atmosphere or just blow right through it?
I think that with microwaves, because microwave, if I'm not mistaken, microwaves, are the wavelength is very short, so it would actually bounce through. Now, they have the government uses these things. They're called ELFs, long-range radio waves, and they use these to talk to submarines. And those actually go through the mantle of the crust because the waves are so long they can actually penetrate solid earth. So if they're going to use microwaves, those microwaves are going, like you said, Joe, they would penetrate the atmosphere, and they would just continue on from that point. I'm sorry, did you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
Well, I just thought that this whole even notion was just really, really silly. And
the
video contained a lot of graphics. They were like showing pictures of, you know, waves moving around in atmosphere. And like, as I was watching it, I was just like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. And I was like, no, it's garbage. Because it really is garbage. It's all unsubstantiated.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't even finish watching the video because the DARPA signals were wearing through my foil helmet, and so I was my body was overtaken, and so listen, people of Earth, there is nothing to see here. Go vote on American Idol and pay no attention to HARP.
Yeah, you know they did the foil hat thing on MythBusters a while back. I'm serious, they did this. They did this as a test, and it works, right? Actually, it doesn't. It does the reverse. So if you actually put a foil hat on, anything that's in your head is actually going to be more amplified, not going to protect you. It's going to amplify it. So,
but did they test it against the reptilian overlord signal?
As a matter of fact, I think they did. No, I have no idea. I don't remember. It was a number of years ago, so I don't remember for sure. Dave, your thoughts?
Oh, boy. This is from Alex Jones.
Yep.
And in all fairness to him, he didn't bring this up. So this was a caller who called in and brought it up. In all fairness to everyone else, he did bring it up last year with Hurricane Sandy and brought up the same. I mean, it was the same thing. And he had a meteorologist on who was saying that Hurricane Sandy was being manipulated by the government and all that stuff. So, you know, he was doing a show on weather manipulation, basically, because of the tornadoes that had occurred. And he had a caller that called in and was talking about weather weapons. And, I mean, it's just all conspiracy theory stuff. You know, obviously, this story was popularized by Rachel Maddow, who first kind of came out and said, well, Alex Jones is saying that Obama caused the tornadoes, which really wasn't fair against Alex Jones in the first place. He didn't necessarily outrightly say that. There are people who are, and certainly the caller that called into his show was, and was part of this whole tornado truther conspiracy.
Yeah. But the fact that he picked it up at all, I mean, it just goes to show that his integrity is, like, right at the...
And when he did his rebuttal to this, instead of defending himself properly against Rachel Maddow, he decided to engage in ad hominem attacks, and he kept calling her Mr. Maddow and all of these other things, which were just grossly inappropriate for his show. In all fairness, there is a treaty from 1976 that says that we will not engage in weather warfare. That we have signed. This came out of the Vietnam War and all of that, and cloud seeding, it's called.
Yes.
Which is a real thing, and we can manipulate clouds to produce more water and things of that nature. But that's a far cry from creating a tornado or a hurricane and making something like that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
You know, I was gonna say the reason why we came up with the whole tornado, the whole war weather thing there, several decades ago, they tried to steer a hurricane. They thought, well, hey, let's try this. You know, we'll seed the hurricane, and maybe it'll speed up and it'll wear out faster before it hits land. Unfortunately, it did speed up, but it also sped up faster going towards the land, and it caused more damage. So I think that's where that treaty comes from, because they saw the research on this and said, hey, you know, look what you could do if you do this again. So that kind of activity to control the weather, as it were, by doing that, doesn't work, because weather does whatever weather wants to do. Doesn't matter what we want it to do, one way or the other. We can sit there and I might as well go out and shake my fist at the cloud. Angry cloud.
No, and obviously, you know, as I said last week when we kind of touched upon this, if we knew as much about weather as these people are claiming that we know, when you watch the news and they predict it, it would be correct.
Yes. They're getting pretty good. They're getting pretty good, but they can't. Sure. It's not actual. It's science, of course, but it's.
It is science, but it's
not exact science.
It's not one of the sciences that we know as much about as, right. say, another field that we have good information with.
Right. And as I always tell everybody, you know what meteorologist actually means in English? It means liar. Don't trust your meteorologist. He'll say you're snow. You take a sunshine. No. Glenn, your thoughts.
Apparently, regardless of what type of disaster happens, there's going to be a group of people that's making up some kind of conspiracy, whether it's, you know, a shooting, a bombing, or tornadoes. So, and of course, I always think of Alex Jones and, you know, people like him. He's not really interested in truth.
No.
He's interested in feathering his bullshit. I mean, what else can you call it half the time? I mean, it's. Well, no, more than half the time. It's just, he's just basically a con man, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, we're always going to have these conspiracy groups, and it drives me crazy. I try not to read too much about it because it really does just irritate the hell out of me, but.
Oh, yeah, me too. You know, it's, conspiracies, like I said, they can be fun to read, you know, or maybe even, you know, investigate a little bit, you know, just for shits and giggles, but.
Yeah, and you know, I bet God and Satan are pretty happy because, hey, some of the blame has been shifted off of them, you know, so.
It's Obama's fault. No, it's the gays' fault. No, no, it's somebody else's fault. It's whatever's fault, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's funny because, I mean, it used to always be about, well, God did it. Mm-hmm. You know, God's sending the tornado. God's sending the hurricane.
Yeah. We had talked about that in last week's show, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And you still have a lot of people that do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess this is, I guess more and more people are, I guess the conspiracy movements are growing more and more because of the wide exposure that you have with people like Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It's a problem. I think that's the big problem, that there's too many people out there like Alex Jones,
yeah.
spreading this misinformation, mm-hmm. and just screwing everybody's heads. I really wish people like this would stop. I mean, if you have an opinion, put it where it belongs, on the internet, where no one will believe you anyway.
So, yeah.
Or everybody will believe you.
Or everybody will believe you.
One or the other.
One or the other. One or the other. Okay. Let's get moving into our next topic for this evening.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Tonight's topic. Well, we're going to cover something that's a little bit more, I would like to say, dangerous. We're going to talk about child indoctrination.
Nice.
Yes. So, teaching your children that fire's hot and don't touch the stove because you might get burned. Those are good things to teach a child. Forcing a religion down a child's throat, I say, is tantamount to child abuse. That is like saying, all right, we're going to teach you the fire's hot by sticking your hand in the flame. I mean, there could be people out there who are going to go, no, that's not the same thing. Well, I tend to disagree because you're forcing the child to experience something that they're not ready for. With heat, you know, you can tell that it's hot just by getting close to it. You know, you tell your child it's hot. But I've been recently been told that, you know, the child's not going to learn until they actually do it themselves. So it doesn't matter. If you're forcing it down their throats, they're going to figure it out one way or the other. That it's nothing but bullshit. Richard Dawkins has said this, that he says, what a child should never be taught is that you're a Catholic child, a Catholic or Muslim child. Therefore, that is what you believe. That's child abuse. I completely agree with that. If you're Catholic, Muslim, Jew, whatever you think you are, you know, or whatever you believe, don't shove it down your child's throat. Let them discover what they want to be. If they want to follow in your footsteps, fine, go for it. But you're not trying to create a clone of yourself, because children are not clones. They are their own individual people. They will come to their own conclusions one way or the other. And you forcing your beliefs on them is inherently wrong. All right, we're going to start the timer over here. That's over here. That's right. There's a timer. Hey, there it is. And we're going to start with Glenn. And the time starts now. Glenn, your thoughts.
Okay, so how much of the 7 minutes do I get?
As much as you want to take. Take up the whole 7 minutes. I don't care. No,
well, you know, I think that oftentimes it is very harmful. You know, I used to think, well, you know, parents feel like they have this obligation to teach their children. And part of me feels like, hey, you know, they need to do what they feel like they need to do. But the older I get and the more harm that I see as a result of the stupid indoctrination when it comes down to kids being refused medical treatment, blood transfusions and stuff like that, then the more I began to pull away from, well, you know, you let your child, you present them maybe different views and let them, but I mean, you know, I'm not anti indoctrination to the point to where I don't think parents should be criminalized unless the child is actually harmed physically, like they get sick and they don't get medical treatment or they die or whatever. But
right. No, that I agree with you there. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and let's move, like, let's take, for example, telling little kids that they are sinners. And so they've got this mindset and it affects their self-esteem and it affects them on into childhood. Mm-hmm. And then we tell them that they're dirty sinners. They're going to hell. If they don't live a certain way, if they don't believe a certain way, they're going to hell. And I just think that that is most unfortunate. And I think hell is the most damaging doctrine that's ever been created by man. And it just, it saddens me.
You know, you touched on something very interesting there, that when we tell kids this, that basically we're using this as a form of control. Now, as an atheist, I didn't have this thing in my toolbox to say, hey, if you guys don't be good, God's going to come down and throw you to hell because you're being bad. Well, it's like getting close to like Santa Claus stuff. Towards the end, when the kids are little, you use Santa Claus to say, hey, you got to be good because Santa Claus is watching you. Oh, well, then they're really good. See, that's the same kind of indoctrination. But when we get the kids get older, they say, oh, well, Santa Claus isn't real. You know, but right. I'm sorry, did you have more you want to add on that?
Not much. I mean, not really. I mean, you know, just the physical and the mental anguish that comes along with that, I think those are really good reasons why parents should really think twice about pushing and forcing their religious views on their children.
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Dave, your thoughts?
Oh, boy. This makes me think of a lot of things. It makes me think of, well, as an isolated situation, it makes me think of Ed Gein, quite frankly. Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin.
He is from Wisconsin. I mean, he was, who knows if he would have done the things that he did had he not been raised in the fashion that he was. But, I mean, either way, he was raised by an obsessively devoted mother. Mm-hmm. He was taught all of the negative teachings of Christianity. I mean, he was taught about hell and original sin and very radical views of women.
Yes. Oh, the things he did to women.
Oh, yeah.
We won't get into everything he did. But if you want
to look it up. No, and I won't get into everything he did. But he certainly, after his mother died, he went crazy, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's the guy who inspired Norman Bates from Psycho and Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, he is very much the epitome of what can go wrong from religious indoctrination.
Absolutely.
I mean, when his mother died, he started going around to cemeteries, digging up bodies, keeping body parts as trophies.
Yep.
He apparently was involved in human taxidermy, necrophilia.
Oh, yeah.
Those sort of things. And he really, I mean, he should have gotten help at some points, but I mean, no one really thought that his religious indoctrination was that bad.
Yeah.
I'll also transition really quickly to religious trauma syndrome. Have you heard of this?
Religious trauma center? No, actually, I've not heard of that. That's the first time I heard about it.
So in the past few years, there has been a label put to this by a psychologist. And I can't recall her name at this point. It was a woman who had dealt with a lot of people who had suffered from some serious problems because of their indoctrination as children. So she's coined the phrase religious trauma syndrome, which she says is the result of two things, an immersion in a controlling religion and a secondary impact of leaving the religious group. Basically, she's found that from the people that she's dealt with as a psychologist that
Dave, I'm going to give the last minute to Joe here.
Please do. Yeah.
No problem. I'm sorry. Joe, I'm sorry. You got the last minute. Go ahead.
I don't have much to say other than I agree with Glenn's point about the threshold of harm. Because, you don't want to be grabbing children out of their parents' arms just because they happen to be raising them religious. However,
I'm not advocating that at all. No.
Exactly. Once that religious teaching goes into the harm, once it crosses that line and the children are being denied the medical care and the blood transfusions and things like that, then boom, like that's when the courts step in and there's a definite barrier of abuse there.
Yeah.
A lot more can be said about this, but there's only 15 seconds left.
Yeah, actually, there was that actually happened in the town I live in. This child had type 1 diabetes, which could have been treated. It could have been treated, but the parents decided to pray over the child, and the child died. I mean, because of the religious their religious indoctrination, and because of their religious indoctrination, it caused harm to that child. So I don't know if people say, well, they can believe what they want, and that's fine. But as soon as it comes to a harm of a child, then I think that's where the religion indoctrination should stop. And unfortunately, that is our time. This was a good topic. We should maybe come back to this
again next time.
Yes. My daughter would like to say something real quick here.
On the topic we are on, it reminds me of a story that I read. This child, she was bullied by, adults because they said, oh, you believe wrong. You are going to go to hell because God hates you because you're believing the wrong thing and God's going to send you to hell and all this. And she actually committed suicide over this because she was constantly being bullied.
Yeah, it's a sad situation.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It is. It really is awful. I mean, stories like this are not uncommon. It's just that we got to stop this indoctrination of children because sometimes these kids, they get in their heads. They just say, you're worthless. They're told. It's like, in God's eyes, you're worthless unless you believe in God, anything. And then the child thinks, oh, I'm going to go around. I'm just totally worthless. I'm not worth anything. And then that just lowers their self-esteem. And I think some people like that because it's just another form of control. Yeah. And please, people, let the child figure it out themselves. If they don't believe, fine.
Yeah.
Don't force your beliefs down their throats.
I agree with that.
All right. Well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from the one, the only, Mr. Atheist Pants himself. And he says, bad news, I have a cold. The good news, when I sneeze at the office, nobody blesses me.
Could you imagine somebody at the American Atheist headquarters sneezing and you just hear grasshoppers?
Well, no one, when you fart, no one says, bless your fart, But see,
if I was an intern there, to be honest, I would say God bless you. Even though I don't say that in real life, I would say it there just because it was funny.
I've been saying for the last 2 years, just as an experiment. And it took me a little while to get myself in the mindset so I would do it properly. Instead of saying, God bless you, I'd say Thor bless you. Because, the two words, if you say it fast enough, they almost sound alike. And for 2 years, in 2 years, two people caught on. And one was my ex-wife. So try that sometime. Just go around and see people say someone's random person sort of says, oh, Thor, bless you, you know. But since no one's caught on, I think maybe I'm going to step it up a little bit and say, Cthulhu, bless you, you know. Or
in the chat room, Dawkins Dog says, actually, when I fart, people tend to say, Jesus Christ.
I have a lot of that, too. And then plants start to die on the wall. Paint starts peeling off the wall.
There was a whole lot of Satan in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, let's get into our shout out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out this evening comes from me. And my shout out is for the Teapot Atheist. And that's at TPOTATHEIST. And he's got some great tweets. I was looking at his Twitter following, and he needs followers. He's got some really good tweets. He's an active Twitterer out there, and he follows me, so obviously he has good taste. So if you're out there on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Give Teapot Atheist a follow. That's TPOTATHEIST, and tell him you heard him on the show. All right, let's move into our next topic for this evening. And tonight's special guest from YouTube is our very own godless man, Godless Glenn.
Hey.
Glenn, you and I sat around and chewed the fat for a couple hours one night because we got introduced from a friend that we both know. And
right.
We were sitting there. We actually, you and I share a lot of things in common.
Before, we do? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, as I remember from our conversation, we do. our past anyway, not so much our present, but our past anyway. Now, before I get into that real quick, how did you come up with the name Godless Glenn?
Wow. You know, it really just came to me. I was just sitting around one day and was trying to think of what would be a good catchy name for my Facebook. This was before I started doing the YouTube. At least I think it was before I did the YouTube. And I went and then I got it everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Tumblr, Gmail.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, because, hey, you never know when you're going to use any of those services. So,
yeah,
if I recommend anyone, if you come up with some kind of catchy name, go secure it everywhere.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, I get teased about my name pretty often, and you know, I have Christians say funny things to me like, "Oh, you should be God Bless Glenn."
Oh jeez.
Yeah, I've had two or three Christians tell me that. Some of them they refuse to call me Godless Glenn. It's pretty funny, but yeah.
Yeah, that's well, that just goes to show you the mindset of some people. Glenn, a while back you and I had got a chance to sit around and chew the fat for about an hour or so. Yeah. And we actually had some our background on some points, or actually have some things in common. You were involved, if I may, involved in the religion Pentecostalism. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you actually were going to become like a pastor or something like that?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And I was involved in that same religion as well. As I don't know if you remember the conversation there. But if things – I look at it like this. If things had
I've slept since then, so I probably have forgot half of what you said.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
I have a mind – like I said, my memory's good for 5 minutes or 5 feet sometimes, but some things you get stuck in the trap. But
damn short-term memory, yeah. I can remember things from when I was fucking 3 years old.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but I can't remember what I had for lunch.
Yeah. But go ahead.
But anyway, no, you almost became a pastor, or you were in the process of doing so, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah, I was. And, I actually did preach a few times.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think for myself, if my life had been gone a little differently and wasn't as fucked up as it was, I probably would have been doing the same thing that you were going into there, or were
really?
About to do too. Yeah, absolutely, actually. I'm sorry, I actually had some other questions here. What brought you out of the Pentecostalism, besides the fact that it's crazy like everything else?
I really left the Pentecostal movement around the same time I left Christianity, and the the main reason was because of the ethical issues I found in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because sometimes people will think I'm being contradictory, and they're like, well, you know, you, over here you say you became an atheist because of the Bible. But, you know, really, that's really not what it is. I think what happened is that's what got the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, I became, I deconverted because of the Bible, but I became an atheist because of the mix with history and science.
Ah.
But I talk mostly about the ethical problems of the Bible because that's really what bothered me the most. I mean, had I never found stories of God and a warrior making a deal and the man sacrificing his daughter to God, and yep. then a prophet cursing a bunch of kids because they poked fun at him for being bald, and God sending two bears to rip him from limb to limb. Yep. Stories like that.
Oh, and then not just any bears, female bears.
Yeah, yeah. So God sent two bears to rip up 42 kids, I think it is. And story after story. And you don't just walk away from religion overnight. You don't just wake up and say, you know, I'm an atheist. No, it takes a long time to get all of that baggage off of you. And I mean, it took 33 years to accumulate all of the bullshit I had. Mm-hmm. And it took about a year to fully walk away. I questioned and all that, but it was mainly the ethical issues. And then I realized, hey, Genesis 1, from the opening verse of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
it's completely false. It doesn't line up with reality.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I began to mix it all together, I mean, and I looked at it from every angle, trust me. People are amazed. Like, how could you go from being a Pentecostal, someone that's on fire for Jesus, preaching the gospel, to an atheist? Because I read the Bible. I read the Bible. That's why I'm an atheist.
Oh, yeah.
That's what led. That's what got everything started. I would have never questioned probably the things, the contradictions and the discrepancies and all of that had I not had a problem with that. But I don't want to stay too much on that, but that's really what started it for me.
Oh, yeah. What started myself, one of the things that got me out of it was something I, from a Bible study actually, a home Bible study. For me, this is what it was. They talked about how they went to give tithes because, you know, in the Pentecostal religion, they're pushing tithes all the time because, you know, yeah. they got to make sure that the church head is paid and everything.
Yeah.
And they said that they got, I don't know if it was Adam and Eve or whoever it was, they're like, there's nobody else around, but all of a sudden they come across this one guy that just pops out of nowhere. And says, oh, by the way, you got to pay God his tithes. And it's like, where did this guy come from? Oh, well, he just kind of like popped into existence and then he just popped out again. And it's like, oh, he was like an angel or some shit like that. It's like,
mm-hmm.
What? Okay, God makes this big production over creating Adam and Eve, but some guy just appears out of nowhere just to say, oh, by the way, you got to give God money. Oh yeah, that's real intelligent, you know.
Yeah.
So that for me, that was my first step to going, something ain't right here.
Yeah.
But I kept it in the back of my head, and one day, it all came to a head. It's like, this isn't right for me. So
yeah.
And
speaking of the whole thing about money, that actually, the last few years I was a Christian, I've seen all the abuses with the money. You know, inside the church, you've got all of the crazy prosperity message. And you know, what's crazy is I actually bought into that for years before my final days, months, I guess you could say, as a Christian. I was extremely skeptical of all that. But there's a guy by the name of Mike Murdoch, mm-hmm. and he gets on TV, and he's like, oh, there's a little old lady right now watching me. If you'll plant that $1,000 seed, God is going to pay off your home. This is bullshit.
Yeah, it's going to pay off somebody's home. His.
Yeah, exactly. And like he will accept people's wills. Instead of saying, no, give this to your children, he will take dying widows' properties.
Oh yeah,
and these ministers, it sickens me. The two things I hate worse, I think, in this world, is greed, when it to the point to where you are taking advantage of other people, and then the harm of religion, where people are harmed, abused, denied their rights, stuff like that. So when you take a religious leader who is abusing people financially, and it is abuse, really, because you're saying, oh, God is saying, and your name is John, and you have to give me a check for $1,000 or whatever the number is. Yep. It angered me so much.
Send me $1,000 and God will send you a million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the hundredfold. And they talk about the hundredfold return. Give a dollar, God will give you 100. Yeah. It's just craziness.
It is. It's total bullshit, and they know it. And the thing is, people believe it.
They do. And my parents still give to the 700 Club. I'm like, Mom, don't give them any money.
Oh, no. Your mom gives to them?
She does, yes.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
It would, yeah.
I know. She loves Pat Robertson. He's such a good man. And he's so smart.
Except for when he's like, he's putting down women and things like that and telling, oh, it's okay for the guy to cheat, but she better, like, you know, put up her panties and just stick them in her face, you know, because, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Pat Robertson is saying more and more batshit crazy stuff as he gets older.
Yeah.
Well, he's losing it.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Yeah, he totally
it.
Is.
Yes, totally.
But he's coming around on some issues. Like a while back, he said, "No, the Earth isn't a few thousand years old after all."
You know, I saw that. Yeah.
That's a great video. I was like, "Oh, it's not a few thousand years old. What are you talking about, people? Yeah. Are you crazy?"
But that video is also completely about him trying to unify people. You know, he wants people to of like minds to get together. I don't know if he necessarily agrees with it, but
But anyway, I got to move into my next question here real quick. I've seen your intro. I got to know, how did you do that intro?
What
program did you use for that?
It looks like I've got mad skills, but you know,
they're better than mine.
You know, and I've used programs before that I had to do most of the hard labor with the animation and stuff. I use Final Cut Pro because I'm a big Mac user.
Yeah, that's what I used to.
I hate Windows. Sorry, all you Windows fans. But, and so I use Final Cut Pro, and then I use a number of different plugins. I've got about four different ones that do text, maybe more, text and intros and different things like that. But
you'll have to share those with me after the show because I got to figure out how you did that. The intro you have on your videos is awesome.
Well, thank you. And I've tweaked it. It used to be longer, and then all it took was someone to post a comment somewhere on a different channel. And they're like, the intro's kind of long. And I thought, you know what? You're right. It is too long. I'm a very impatient guy. And in some of my videos, you can tell, I get right to the point. And I edit out every bit of silence. I mean, I almost overlap my sentences. I snip away everything like that's dead silence, all the uhs and the ums, because, hey, I want everybody else's time. I want to know that I want them to know that they can come watch my stuff. And everybody's different, but I actually watch people that's just like talking, just like you would talk in everyday life, and I enjoy those. But for me, it bothers me for my videos to have those things in it.
So you've been watching me edit, have you? This is what the show looks like after I've gone through and edited all the ums. And then I take a lot of the stuff I'm sitting here going out of my video. So just, that one I'm going to leave in. But
Found out when I use a teleprompter that I stay on topic a lot easier.
Teleprompter. And, why don't I think of that? Well, wait a minute. That's right. I do this show by the seat of my ass.
So a teleprompter. But then I've had a couple of comments where somebody said, it looked like you was reading. One of my good friends actually said, dude, you sound like a robot. And that hurt my feelings. So I'm like, damn. I'm like,
I would love to be called a robot. It's like, oh, yes, that means I have better intelligence than you.
Teleprompter on an iPad, and then Final Cut Pro and some plugins, and I'll share those plugins with you. But yeah.
Yeah.
It does a lot of the work for you.
That's cool.
Really?
Definitely cool. Okay, I'm going to, as they say, open the floor up to other questions here. Joe, did you have a question for Godless Glenn?
I do. Glenn, yes. I spent last night going through your channel, watching tons of your videos. I really like your stuff. I think you make some really great videos.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I watched your among others, I watched your Speaking in Tongues is BS. Creationism is BS.
We actually did a thing on Talking in Tongues just a couple weeks ago, didn't we, Joe?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, great.
Presumptuous Pricks. And you made a really good video called Good Christians versus Good Atheists. I thought that was a really great video. I actually tweeted it out after I watched it.
Oh, you
touched on something in what you were talking to Packard about in your Miracles is BS video. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that money just suddenly shows up. Now, I've had people on Twitter say that to me. I'll be talking to people and I'll be like, well, what proof of God do you have? And they'd be like, well, here's what happened. I was in debt. I owed all this money. And then all of a sudden I get a letter that everything was paid off and I knew God paid my bills. So there's my proof. And whenever I'm confronted with that, I'm just like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, there was this truck traveling down the road. It had a bunch of money inside and it just sort of popped right out. And
not
say,
even
God
that.
Must it want me
matter
to have-
that their money was paid.
Yeah, well, and God must have wanted me to have this money because he dropped it in my lap. Oh, no, that was actually the banks, you know.
Now, what do you, Glenn, think about those kind of claims? Like, are those people just batshit crazy? Are they lying? Did somebody pay their bill for them and they're just falsely attributing it? Like, I've often wondered about that. Like, I've always been stumped by that, like, dumbfounded. Like, what the heck are they talking about?
Yeah, are you a former Christian?
No.
Okay. Well, it would be a little bit easier, I think, maybe to understand their mindset. You know, I've had a number of Christians that do things, but then something nice, they do something nice for someone, but then they go, this is God. God did it. Mm-hmm. And then when those people go give the testimony, well, God, I want to give my testimony tonight. God bless me with $50. Now, they don't tell you a lot of times who actually gave the money because, I mean, you know, then God would lose part of the credit, obviously. But a lot of people look at it as they think God is speaking to them to do nice things. I had a lady a while back. She kept saying, God is who is giving you. She gave me a bed, a mattress for my daughter. And she kept saying, God did it. God did it. When I'll be real honest here, she told her church that I needed one and I really didn't even need one. You know, but she told her church, and then the church, like, oh, okay, there's a need here. Let's mail it to him free of charge. Mm-hmm. But she just kept going on and on about how this was a miracle from God, and it was no miracle.
She told somebody, and it, yes. You know, the thing is, if she hadn't told anybody, you know what? She still wouldn't have that mattress. Oh, is that another miracle? Oh, it's a miracle of not God.
Yeah, and get the funny thing, okay? My daughter would not sleep on that bed because it was uncomfortable. So here's my thing. Okay, and I actually said this to her at one point because she went in, she started griping at me on my Facebook wall and eventually and talking about how this was a miracle from God. Eventually I said, seriously, if this was a miracle from God, don't you think God would have known which mattress was comfortable for my daughter? I said, she won't sleep on it. So there you go. God bought her the That's shittiest great. Mattress and the ugliest bed frame that he could find. I'm serious. And you know what?
She You know what? They'll say, you know what they'll say? I think this is what they'll say. They say, well, it wasn't God that did it. It was, you know, God's helper, you know, like Santa's helper. He just gave God the wrong information that was supposed to go to the bum down the street, and he sent the good mattress to him. It was a miscommunication is what it was. It wasn't God's fault. It was just miscommunication on our part somewhere, you know.
But getting this lady to agree that it wasn't a miracle would never happen, and it's just – it blows my mind because – The whole premise of it was, it's a miracle, but it's not a miracle because she told someone. And then the fact that she wants to continue to say it was when clearly it wasn't even suitable for my daughter I mean, I just laugh. It's so funny. It really is so funny.
So what you're saying then is they're not necessarily just making it up, but what they're doing is they're falsely attributing other people's kindness and charity to God.
Yeah, they do that a lot. Them.
And they even go so far as to ask for that help, but then attribute it to God.
They do that at times, yes.
Okay, then, well, that clears that. That helps me a lot because, like, whenever someone says that to me, I'm just like, wait, what, huh? Like, the money just magically appeared? What they're not telling me is they asked for it and someone gave it to them.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that does happen sometimes. But there are, I mean, let's face it, there are coincidences. And there are, I mean, someone may feel like they have the need to slip you a 20. They may be a Christian or an atheist or whatever. And, of course, a Christian is going to be like, oh, well, this is a gift from God. But, no, they may have just heard you tell your daughter in the line, oh, honey, I'm sorry, I can't buy you that bag of chips because, you know, we need to wait till payday.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know what could be, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People have ears, you know, they use those.
Right.
Yeah.
People pay it forward.
Yeah. I have a quick question here for you, Glenn. Is there any YouTube videos or anything you use for your inspiration to do your videos?
Yeah. You know, are you talking about, like, different YouTube?
Who inspires you when you go out? You're hunting on YouTube. You say, oh, hey, you know, oh, that's a great topic. Or
yeah.
I can't believe this guy's actually think that this is real. And I have to go, you know, this guy's an idiot. And here's why.
Yeah. You know, let's see. That's a good question. And I know if I start naming channels, I will leave out a few. But I will say this.
We'll come to another time eventually.
Well, I will say this, that the Barking Atheist, I like his. He actually,
I haven't seen a video from him in a while, actually.
Well, he just uploaded one again. I think he's back doing YouTube videos, but he just released one about the thaw, uh-huh. A rebuttal to that video.
Oh, the thaw. Oh, I've been seeing this all over the place. That is a fucking ridiculous video.
Yeah. And I would do one, but it would take me forever. And I've had people say, when are you going to do a thaw rebuttal? Yeah, probably not. been covered. What else could I say? That's not been raised already. You know,
and we were talking about a little while ago indoctrination of children. That's a perfect example of indoctrination of children right there.
Exactly, yes. But I would say the Barking Atheist, Daniel, I get inspiration from him because I like his style, and he's real direct. He edits his videos pretty cleanly, and I don't try to mimic anybody, but it influenced. And I also like, damn it, the Messianic Manic, or is it Maniac? Damn it. Messianic Manic,
mm-hmm.
I think. Anyway, I like his style. He's really intelligent. And, you know, he just stands right in front of the camera. And I think he usually does a lot of his videos in black and white.
Oh, that's a different take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do a lot of bells and whistles with his videos, but I don't care because I watch him for what he has to say. So I like channel quite a bit. So yeah, I get a lot of inspiration. I used to watch The Amazing Atheist a lot, and I used to watch Mr. Repzian a lot. And I've actually shifted my viewing habits more toward the smaller atheists, and I guess you could say, I don't know, but
yeah, I like how you shout out other channels in some of your videos. I think that's cool of you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think so too. I mean, it's this way, you know. It gives we'd like to do that here on this show too. We'd like to talk about other people and say, hey, you know, give them the boost up because you never know who you're gonna learn about by watching somebody else's channel.
Yeah.
Dave, did you have a question for Glenn?
My first question is, in the picture that you have, are you playing with yourself?
Oh, my God. Okay, this is the second time I've been asked that question, so I'm going to get a new picture.
Wow. Is that because the answer is yes or because the answer is no?
No, that's where his sleep button is. He's getting ready to take a nap. You ever seen Married with Children? That Al Bundy gets done with work. He sticks his hand in his pants. Ah, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, it's comfortable. I'm just asking. I saw the picture. I thought it was my first thought. I'm sorry.
Wow. You know, I use my pockets a lot. I mean, when I go to pose for a picture, my hands usually go in my pockets, and so
you have holes in those pockets, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a secret hole that goes, but
chains falls right through.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. But
okay, so besides that, I heard you talking earlier about Elijah's story in Kings with the bold child.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific story that you read and felt that it was unbelievable while you're going through your process to becoming an atheist?
I started questioning basically all the stories, and there was a lot of things about Jesus, like his genealogies.
Sure.
They don't line up in the Gospels. Was he born of a virgin? Was it a virgin birth, or was it, you know, a natural birth? Because, you know, only one, you got one gospel that says one thing, and then another one that omits that interesting part about a virgin birth. And
right, so, and that leads to a lot of different denominations.
Yeah. I question a lot of things like the Tower of Babel, Noah's Ark, the creation story, and one by one, I realized this is BS. And then the thing about Jesus, of course, you know, I mean, that whole, everything crumbles if Jesus isn't what he's claimed to be. And if he didn't return, and that was a really big one for me, he didn't return when he said he would.
Yep.
Right.
He said he was going to return within their lifetimes. And
yeah, yeah. He wasn't thinking about people 2,000 years later. Oh, he meant the generation living today. No, that's not what he said. But
that's why I try to make Christians understand. Is they, oh, he's going to return in our lifetimes? No. That's not what it says. It says he's going to return within their lifetimes, not ours. That time is come and gone.
Yeah, and the other gospel writers too in the New Testament. I say gospel writers. The other New Testament writers actually had the idea. It's at the door. It's here. His coming is very close. I mean, surely they wouldn't be talking about a generation 2,000 years later. That don't make any sense. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is that your fundamental premise for why you became an atheist? Or what is your specific reason that, I mean, out of everything that you've learned, is there a trigger for you deciding that God is not real?
Yeah, you know, 90% of the time when I highlight why I'm an atheist, I go back to the Bible and I show that my wife just said Jephthah. The final straw for me was the story of Jephthah. And you can clearly see where God made a Jephthah and God made a deal. And Jephthah said, hey, God, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my home if you do this for me. And God did what he requested. I mean, it was a conspiracy. God wanted a human sacrifice. And I know that pisses Christians off when I say that, but I'm sorry. I mean, it shouldn't be so hard to understand that God likes human sacrifice. Jesus.
He likes the smell. I mean, historically, most of what I understand is that he really enjoys the smell of burning flesh.
Well, the Bible says that. It says it's a sweet aroma to his nostril.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it actually does say that.
Yeah, it's sick.
It is sick when I heard that. And just like, and today, I actually kind of forgot about that. But the thing is, for myself, the fact that God likes the smell of burning flesh. I mean, I'm thinking he must go to a lot of barbecues or something. But I don't know. It's just the fact that a God that's created a whole universe, you know, suns and whatnot, but smelling animal flesh burning. Yeah. Oh, this what gets him off? I mean, really?
It was for years, apparently.
Yeah.
That's what appeased his anger. You had to offer, I think, at least once a year. I don't know how often they did the sacrifices, honestly. But, you know, however often
it depends. I mean, it depends on the story and what your transgressions were.
Yeah. So, I mean, he really did get off on that. It's like, okay, now... It was like the equivalent of his cigarette, okay? I mean, or a beer, whatever.
Hey, watch these little people. These little Anthony people. Watch this. I'm going to blow it off. You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what calmed him down. Today we'd be like, oh, you know, it's been a rough week at work. I just want to punch somebody, but I'm going to smoke a cigarette or I'm going to smoke a joint.
He smoked a lot of people.
Yeah.
He smited them.
He smited them. The whole appeasing God thing, I have a whole other topic on that.
That's a different conversation.
That's a whole other conversation we'll come into another time.
Yeah. We'll take that one next time.
It stems from the Jewish tradition of scapegoating.
Yes, it does, actually. Dave, did you have any other questions, or does any? I'll tell you what. Let's take a question from the chat.
I believe that's it.
That's it. Okay.
That's it for me.
All right. Okay. That's fine.
We know each other well now.
All right. There you go. Crystal wants to know, where are you from? She's in the chat room. She wasn't feeling good enough to get up here and talk tonight, but
I live in Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, currently.
Knoxville.
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, Tennessee, just down the road from here.
Cleveland. No,
and he has a very nice red couch. Just watch his videos.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, and people do like my couch.
Yeah, Crystal's from the South, too.
I know my couch people.
Yeah. I know my people.
Yeah. Yeah, I get picked on because of my Southern accent, but I don't think it's as strong as some of the other peoples around here.
Oh,
but
no. It's not that noticeable. I give everybody, you know, tease a little bit of everybody. Does anybody else have any questions from the chat room?
Hey, Glenn, I was looking at your Twitter, and you're at Godless Glenn on Twitter.
Yep.
And I noticed that when you upload a video, you tweet it. And I think that's great because it's a good way to get it out. The atheist community on Twitter, we all watch the atheist hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And if you added the atheist hashtags whenever you announced a new video, we'd all see it. We would all do it. So if you put #atheist/atheism on each tweet of a new video link, then the whole community will see it. And when people retweet it, it retweets into its own hashtag, so people see it as long as it gets retweeted.
Yeah, and you don't have a whole lot of followers on Twitter. So if you're out there, follow Godless Glenn on Twitter. It's GodlessGlen, no space in there.
Yeah, I'm not very popular on Twitter, but, you know, I've not really spent a lot of time, and I didn't, you know, I've not really thought about using the hashtags on there, so I'm glad he gave me that too.
The whole community watches them. Like, we all, like,
Hashtag atheist roll call as well. Exactly. Will give you a lot of notoriety.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. I mean, like, yeah, this is the first anyone ever recommended I do that. And I really don't spend a lot of time in the Twitter universe, whatever.
It's a chat room to the world. You could talk to anybody in real time.
Oh, pretty much almost real time,
It's powerful, and you can direct people back to your YouTube videos very easily.
I tweeted a couple of your videos last night, and when I did, I made sure to hashtag them.
Yeah, Glenn, do you have a Facebook account or a webpage that you would like people to go to see your other works, or do you have a blog or something somewhere?
I don't have a blog. Anyone's welcome to add me as a friend on Facebook. You know, some people are real skeptical of listen.
How do I find you on Facebook?
Yeah, Godless Glenn. You know, Facebook.com/Godless Glenn. You can add me on there.
All right.
Dog actually has a question for you. Do you ever debate fundies on your Facebook?
Oh, okay. I do, and I've lost, of course, I've lost friends on Facebook.
Shocking.
Yeah, most
like that never happens.
That never happens.
You're the first one.
Yeah. Most of the people that now they've stuck around long enough, they know that I'm going to bash the Bible, so they've learned to put up with me, I think. So, but yeah, I do. You know what? Here lately, it's really not been that much of it going on. I used to get into a lot of discussions on Facebook, but I spent a lot of time researching, scripting, and then doing my videos for YouTube. So I don't spend a lot of time on there as much as I used to.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand. I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook myself. I've got so much stuff going on right now. I can barely spend my time doing it.
Yeah. It can get very time consuming.
Yes, this show is very time consuming. Okay, if we don't have any other questions, Glenn, we can find you on YouTube as Godless Glenn. Is that all one word on YouTube as well?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. All right.
That's one with one N, correct?
Right.
Yes, one N.
One N. That's GodlessGlen. That's on YouTube. Just look up. Just Google Godless Glen in the Google machine. I'm doing a Rachel Maddow now. She calls everything a machine, but that's absolutely not. I'm picking on Rachel Maddow now.
Awesome.
So Twitter. So they can follow me on Twitter, friend me on Facebook, and then subscribe to me. You know, if you like, I mean, if you just love my stuff, you know, if you don't like me, then you know, subscribe to me.
I love your stuff.
I like your videos, especially the one because you talked about one real quickly here about how Jesus called these women, this woman, a dog, and I just learned about that one just several weeks, about a week ago before I actually had a chance to watch that video. It's like, oh yeah, so I got to watch your take on that, and you're absolutely right. I mean, he took that opportunity, if Jesus ever existed, to say, hey, you know, back off, people. She's not a dog. But to say, oh, you got to give them the dogs the crumbs off the table. I mean, that was total garbage. I mean, she might as well call them a racist name. I won't use here on the show, but you know, it's the same thing, basically.
Yeah. You would think the perfect Son of God, the Messiah, would say, "Hey, no, you're not a dog. You're not a second class citizen. You're made in God's image," whatever, but, you know.
Yeah, we're all in God's image except for the people who don't believe in God. So those you're dogs in those case. Right. So. Yeah.
It's an inconsistent message. It doesn't follow with what he said, like, in the Sermon on the Mount and all that, you know.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he was drunk when he gave that anyway, or somebody who was frightened to tell was drunk.
Matt Dillahunty wrote up a big ripping apart of the Sermon on the Mount that he put on Aaron Chariot's wiki. He was talking about it on his show not too long ago, and I went and looked at it, but I didn't read the whole thing. I want to read the whole thing because it looks really interesting.
Can you send me a link, Joe?
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Glenn, if you get a chance to add me on Facebook, facebook.com/PackardPokeshead. Anyway, I tell you what, we've had such a wonderful time here, but we do need to get going because we are running way long. We're running in now 2 hours, so I might have to trim a couple stories from the show here. If you want to get a hold of us, before we get going, actually, Glenn, I want to thank you very much for coming to the show and joining us tonight, and I will get a copy of the video out to you, and thank you for, you know, entertaining us with yourself there. I mean,
well, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll please come back. And, hey, if nothing else, just come out and hang out in the chat room with us crazies out here. So
yeah. So definitely.
Yeah, thanks for being on, Glenn.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you. And if you want, if you want to contact us, yes, we actually talk to people too. If you have a story that you want us to talk about or something else you want us to talk about, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/PackardPokeset. Post it on the show, or post it on the Facebook page, or at PackardPokeset.wordpress.com, and we'll cover your story. I mean, if we find enough good stories, we might talk about it. But if you want to contact us in other ways, we're going to give you that information right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as PackardPokeset on Twitter and by email at PackardPokeset@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-hosts with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokeSat to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
Wow, Joe, you do that so well. You get on the keyboard and the whole nine yards.
Very professional.
Very professional. You did such a great job.
This is all a lie. He's not really there.
Come on, man. I got to, like, do breathing exercises before I do that.
I'm like, it sounds great. I'm not saying anything otherwise. It's just a lie.
Keep your skepticism to yourself, man.
Yeah.
I'm intellectually honest, goddammit.
When we like that here on the show. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming. Special thanks to Goddess Glenn for joining us here on the show and joining us with us crazies out here. But if you want to come to the show, you can find us on vonlive.tv/PackardPokesat. We're out here Friday nights, 9 p.m. Central Time. You know, just look for Chicago, wherever you're at. Just look for Chicago at 9 o'clock, and then you'll find us out there. So, and come and join us in the chat room. We'd love to chat with you because that's what we do. We're chatting. We're doing the show. We're having fun. And if you want to have fun, come join us. But anyway, that being said, we're going to get out of here. And we'll talk to you. We'll be back next week. So this has been Packard Pokeset. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Contradictions in the Bible. According to the Bible, is incest wrong? In Genesis 17, 15 through 16, God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." So Abraham marries his half-sister, and God blesses the union in Genesis 22:17. However, in Leviticus 20:17, if a man marries his sister, the daughter of either his father or his mother, and they have sexual relations, it is a disgrace. They must be cut off before the eyes of their people. He has dishonored his sister and will be held responsible. Although, in Deuteronomy 27:23, cursed is the man who sleeps with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Then all the people shall say, Amen. Did you like that, kids? Yay! Would you like to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.
Oh.